I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. Now, if you listened to the last interview, you heard Patrick Wilson and Judy Greer talk about their new film, Barry Monday. Well, today, I have the other star of the film, Chloe Sevigny, and the writer-director, Christy Arenzo. Chloe plays Judy's sister, and guess what? In this story of oddballs, she plays a relatively normal person. I said relatively, right? This is writer and director Christy Arenzo's first film, but I'm sure you heard of his hit Broadway show, Rock of Ages. Barry Monday is a fun, kooky comedy, and it even stars Billy Dee Williams. How could you not want to see this film?
Chloe?
Yes?
One of the first lines in your film here is, I'm a slut. So I'm wondering what it is about the character and the role that attracted you to this.
I think it was more the overall project than the character. I think everybody involved and meeting Chris and talking about the film and what he wanted to do with it and kind of his references to other films that he loved, the kind of movie that he wanted to make. And, you know, I've never been in a comedy or straight-up comedy before, so that, of course, attracted me to the project.
American Psycho could kind of count for that.
Do you think? Black comedy, very black. And the other actors involved, of course, Judy. I've been a big fan of Judy since Jawbreaker, and I thought that the relationship between the sisters was very sweet, and even though I think that the character is a little biting behind her back, she still really loves Ginger, and,
Chris, from a casting standpoint, when you were doing the script, did you immediately think of the people you got, that's who you wanted to...
Well, no, I mean, I never would have dreamed. I mean, much of the casting process for me was, really? Think they'd do it? Sure, ask them. I mean, it was like, you know, I never would have dreamed to have this cast, but when it actually became the process of casting, we just had a lot of fun with, like, who is the perfect, like, who's your dream person? And, like, start there. And, like, you know, as far as, like certain characters, like Billy Dee's character, Lonnie,
that was
and Jennifer, for Chloe as Ginger's sister, I felt like in those two instances, for sure, I was like, you know, Jennifer needs to be the coolest person in Ginger's world, just like Lonnie's kind of the coolest person in Barry's world. So I just kind of, like, went for who I think are the coolest actors.
And you have a lot of friends in your friends.
I do have lots of friends that my penis group is pretty much all my buddies.
Your comedy buddies.
Yeah.
Katie.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. That was a good day.
So what spoke to you in the novel?
I mean, the characters were really specific and human. Like, they weren't traditional movie, like, romantic comedy characters. They were flawed, and their flaws were, like, really naked, and I just really liked that. And, you know, it when I read it, it reminded me of... There was a possibility there. I was like, there's a way to do this that's kind of in the spirit of comedies that I really love. Movies like Harold and Maude or Graduate that are just kind of...
It has a real Altman feel, too.
Yeah.
Early Altman.
Yeah. Like that, yeah, it was kind of these people who, you know, if you took their comedies, you really wouldn't know what shelf to completely put them on in the blockbuster. It's like, you know, and I love those kind of movies. So it felt like we could maybe walk that line.
So as your first time directing, did it sort of make you more nervous or more at ease having such a great cast behind you?
It was completely terrifying at times, but then once you're actually working, I mean... You know, one of the things that we wanted to do was do lots of masters and let scenes play out in one shot. And you know, you can only really do that if you have really great actors. So once we were actually working and we were in this kind of structure and we're like, okay, we're going to try this all out here in this one shot, then it was like I was completely at ease because I didn't have to worry. Everyone was just completely at the top of their game.
I have to say, it was the calmest set I've ever been on and one of the funniest. I mean, everybody was so relaxed.
Yeah.
So mellow and everybody got along. I was like, what the hell's going on? Are we making a movie here? I mean, shouldn't there be tension? Shouldn't people be screaming about getting the shot? And we did really, like, minimal takes and minimal setups, and it was like, it was really
it was
nice.
Laid back.
Really laid back.
We had that, like, big party scene, and it was shot at an apartment complex that had a pool, and nobody between takes would go to their trailer. It was like a pool party.
Just chilling out. Everybody had it all. It was shocking.
Yeah, it was
so
really cool.
You make the film. How are you going to get it out to people? I mean, I'm not sure if it's a tough sell or not, but I mean,
I think it is in the sense that, you know, I think it's the worst log line for a movie ever. You know, and but those are the movies I love. I mean, I think, like, if you, like, you know, a young adolescent falls in love with an elderly woman, like, that sounds like a horrible movie, but Erhol Damad is amazing. And, like, I think those are the movies I like that are really about execution. And it's like, what is that? That sounds so, I don't know. And then you see it, and I love the surprise of that. It was a challenge for me, and to try to see if we can make like a really good movie that might sound weird just to talk about. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how. You just gotta hope, you know, that it's word of mouth. I mean, I think that's been kind of already in the short time that we've been here at South By, like, it's been really great that people are talking and, like, no, trust me, like, it's not like what you, it's like this or that. And, you know, people are kind of doing the work for us. It's really nice.
Chloe, how do you go about choosing the roles that you take?
More, like I said, the overall project, you know, meeting the director and hearing, you know, what they want to do with their film and the scripts, obviously, and who else is involved, and producers, and, you know, I generally work with writer-directors, and it's something that I'm attracted to, and you know, directors who I think have a strong vision, and that's basically it.
Yeah. It's easy enough.
So you directed this, but you also adapted the screenplay. Was it hard to, you know, take a work that already existed and put it up on the big screen?
I don't know. I've been a screenwriter for a while. This was my first adaptation, and I actually really enjoyed the process. There was something really fun about it. The way I did it this time, and I don't know. I just took it at first on LegalPad and went through chapter by chapter and just turned the novel into a screenplay. So I had this unwieldy, huge screenplay. And then once it was in that form, I felt like I could kind of do the math of, like, okay, we'll take this out, maybe put this in, this is where the thing. So I had a lot of fun writing it. And we had a lot of fun making it. So it was definitely, like, probably the most joyous thing I've ever done in my life was making this movie and writing it and everything. So now they're really, you know, I mean, there are hardships in making independent film, but as far as that goes, I think we got off really easy. Had a really
what about
time.
Losing? Because there's so many scenes. I mean, there's a lot edited out of the film. I'm curious. Can I ask a question? about losing so many of those scenes.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, that's the hard thing, too, because I think,
I mean, there's even actors credited in the beginning of the opening credits that aren't even
in it anymore. I know there was tons. Well, that was the thing. Was a big lesson for me was I was just, my first cut was like the Godfather cut. It was like 3 hours long, and it was just like, because you can't help when you write it, I think, but be a little precious. You're like, oh, this was so important to me when I wrote it, and the thing. And actually, I had an editor that just did a cut that just really shook the tree, and just whatever fruit stuck on, and just really did a really harsh cut. It was like, whoa, that is like, oh, that is too much. Like, that's crazy. But what it did was then there were conversations we had where, like, oh yeah, well, I guess, yeah, this makes sense. And really just kind of getting to the heart of, like, what really the story was. Because I think the thing we noticed was once Barry meets Ginger, you kind of want to stay on that train. And we shot scenes where Barry gets kidnapped by the air guitar guys, and there were all these crazy scenes that were going, that we just realized, like, as we were going, like, oh, but it's really not about that anymore. And then there are great scenes that we just love. Like, there are things that, some of the funniest things that unfortunately will be on the DVD, I guess. Yeah, it's absurd.
I just imagine as a director, it's impossible to let go of those things.
Yeah, well, but then you have them in there, and the audience doesn't like anything. It was crazy. It was a real education.
Are you planning an extended version of the film on DVD, or are you just going to do deleted scenes?
Right now, I'm just hoping to God people get to see it. And then, then we'll do the Criterion edition.
Do you have anything else in the works?
I wrote a musical that's in New York right now called Rock of Ages, and so I've been doing a lot of work, like having to set up different companies of that. So I don't really have a project lined up right now, which is kind of nice. I can just find whatever.
If it travels, you should see it. I've seen it twice. It's very funny.
They're making a movie out of that. Right?
They are. Yeah, I wrote the screenplay for that. Yeah.
And is that Adam Shankman?
Adam Shankman is directing that. Yeah. Okay. For New Line.
Have they started? When is that going to go into production?
They wanted to do it really quick, so I think that they're, now that he's done with the Oscars, I think they're going to get.
Hey, Chris, when you cut somebody out of the movie,
yeah.
Do you have to make that phone call, or how does that work?
Yes. I mean, I guess I don't have to.
Yeah, but
I luckily, there are so many of my friends in this movie that it was like they were. A lot of them were my friends, and I was like, "Hey, this is what happened." Everyone's really cool about it. It was astonishing. I mean, it's like it's kind of just what happens, and everyone. The one thing I will say across the board, and I think this is exactly the only way a movie gets made is. On some level, you're kind of like making a religion, and people are either true believers or... And I think the reason why this was successful was the Church of Barry was like really sound. Like everyone was a real believer and loves the movie and kind of added an authorship to it. So even those calls, people were genuinely like, whatever's best for the movie, It was really nice.
So, obviously not everybody got to see the Q&A last night, so I was just wondering if you could retell the story again of Billy Dee Williams and getting him involved in the project.
Oh, yeah. It was that conversation where we went to L'Hermitage, which is like all, anytime I'm in that lobby, I don't know if you've had this experience, I only see rappers and NBA stars, all the time. And so... hanging with Billy Dee was like hanging with the Pope. It was kind of fantastic. Because he doesn't do a ton of movies now, but he's such a fantastic actor and a wonderful guy, and he was really sweet. He's like, so why did you think of me for this? And I said, I just think Lonnie needs to be the coolest guy in Barry's universe, and I was trying to think, who is the coolest guy in my universe? It's Billy Dee, and he just kind of looked at me and went, and you'd be right. Leaned back, and that was... And we got really close, actually. It was, really sweet. We would go have dinner all the time, and it was just awesome. He's a really, really wonderful guy.
What's your advice to actors from a directing standpoint and obviously from an acting standpoint?
Advice on...
Just for up-and-coming actors or young actors? Or...
I mean, I had a lucky break, so I never know what to say to but I guess just... I always surrounded myself with people who I thought were doing something. They were proactive, that were, trying to get something made, or, people working in fashion or film or, writers or art or whatnot. I always just surrounded myself with people who were, proactive, and I think that can really help.
One more question.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, for me, it was, I think it's the same thing for acting or writing or painting or directing. I think it's just, you just have to develop your own voice. I mean, it really, what people respond to is authenticity and specificity and, being your own, unique artist, and I think if you go into any situation this is, I think, the thing that will sell. I write this, this will be my next big Adam Sandler studio movie. If that's the very first thing you write, I think you're destined to be a hack, your whole life. And so I think you always need to start from a really authentic place.
Thanks, Chris and Chloe, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to DailyActor.com for more interviews, columns, and news. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.